time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the motherfucking podcast.
Yeah, motherfucker. Yeah. The motherfucking podcast. Yeah, what's
when,
good,
that's
man?
When you mean shit, you know what I'm saying? That's black folks' meaning, you know what I'm saying?
I add a motherfucker.
Exclamation point.
So you ignorant niggas hear me.
Remember that? Saying? You say what?
That's an old Lauren line.
What did you say?
On, she said, I add a motherfucker so you ignorant niggas hear me. I always thought that was a hell of a lot.
You know, when you get smart, you start, you know what I'm saying, that's the ignorant shit. But
yeah.
Motherfucker is.
Yeah, but I get it. It's intentional.
Right.
The intention of the motherfucker.
Yeah. You know, that's a feeling. You know what I'm
saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is directed.
Yeah.
Directed energy, man. What's good?
Ah, man, life is good. Life is good. Shit, sun is shining. It's the holidays. You know what I'm saying? People run around happy, spending money. You know what I'm saying? Traffic is thicker. Mm-hmm. You know? Shit, the list is, niggas is sending lists and shit. And it's about that time. You know?
Yeah. I mean, shit, less than a week away.
Yeah. As they would say, the 'tis the season. So
to be jolly,
you know, even when you don't celebrate Christmas, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're still in, you're an American, so you're still affected by the season. And you know, when everybody's feeling good, you know, it feels a different kind of way. Just gotta watch out for the jackers. But other than that, life is good, you know. Then we coming up on the holidays, getting ready for, you know, some little gatherings, you know. Got the mind laws for the Christmas, you know what I'm saying? Then they're trying something new this year. I think they're going with the seafood diet as opposed to the Thanksgiving spread, the black soul food spread, rather. So that's going to be interesting. See how we pull that off. I just be wondering, like, what's the centerpiece dish, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, you got the seafood dinner. Is it a big ass slab of salmon laying across the middle, or how you deal with that part? That's gonna be interesting.
Right. And then some lobster.
Yeah, that might be cool. Yeah. And then we New Year's Eve. I mean Christmas Eve. We usually do it with my sister, so that's gonna be a situation. So that should be fun. Old school Miami family get together on that day. So, you know what I'm saying? We'll be playing some Miami music and hopefully some conch fritters will float through that motherfucker some kind of way. But we going to see.
All right. That sound cool. I still never had any conch fritters. I got to try that shit at one time. Next time I'm in Florida, I got to see about that.
Yeah, Florida, Bahamas, shit like that. Yeah.
What is tripe? Is it like,
no,
is it similar to tripe?
No.
So it, like what I mean is texture wise, is it like is it closer to like whiting or is it closer to like what's the chew on that shit?
Tripe? I don't never had no tripe. That's a stomach or something?
Yeah, that's stomach lining.
Yeah, I never had that shit.
I don't think I've had it either. Okay. I don't know why I thought conch and tripe was like in the same.
Nah. Conch is a snail of the sea. You know what I'm saying? You ever seen like them people on the Bahamas commercials blowing a shell? And
being conch shell. Yeah, that's a conch.
Yeah, so it's a snail that used to live in that motherfucker. And you know, they've taken to, as a delicacy, take out the snail, put it in a tenderizer a few times, and then, you know, put it either in a, some people eat it raw like ceviche. Some people make conch fritters. Some people make conch salad, which is like ceviche. Mm-hmm. And then cracked conch or fried conch is, you know, my go-to delicacy with it. It's a signature South Florida treat. You know what I'm saying? It's probably Bahamian influenced. Mm-hmm. a lot of the black soul food in Miami is really Bahamian influence. So, like, you got conch, pigeon peas, and rice. That's like a Bahamian dish. But, you know what I'm saying, to black people in Miami, that's just a black dish. You know what I'm saying? So
that's
what it is. Conch, pigeon peas, and rice. That's me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Shout out to my cousin, Auntie Regina. You know how your cousin be old enough to be your auntie. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She make a good ass conch, pigeon peas, and rice, boy. Golly.
Shout out to her. Yeah. Word. Crack conch, what is that?
Fried conch. So they basically tenderize it, cut it up in pieces, fry it, and then, you know, that's crack conch.
Got it.
Yeah.
So this is like ocean escargot. Yeah, I'm gonna try it someday. I'm gonna see about it. I've heard about it. I hear the excitement, particularly when you talk about it and people from Florida. It sounds like it's one of them things. So I'm gonna see about that. Yeah, man. Happy holidays, FY. You know, happy holidays. It's funny. As you say it, you know, it don't feel like the holidays to me. Not as much. I mean, I've been seeing all of the decorations everywhere. Mm-hmm. But up here, one, the weather's like, it's like 50 degrees, 60 degrees. Then it'll hit a quick 30. Just to remind you that it's winter, then spin right back and come back to a good 50 degrees. So, you know, there's no snow. So I don't really get, I see the little Christmas markets. I've been downtown, Union Square, you know, over by Bryant Park and all those. You see the people out there doing their Christmas markets. But for whatever reason, to me, it doesn't feel like Christmas. I think a big portion of that, like you said, you got a list. A beautiful thing that my family did maybe 3-4 years ago, maybe even longer than that. I guess since everybody is an adult now, we had a pact where we're like, look, we're not going to do Christmas gifts. We're going to focus on birthdays, and we're just going to kick it on Christmas. We're going to eat, we're going to watch a movie, and we're going to enjoy life. So, I don't feel that pressure, that Christmas shopping pressure, all of that shit. Like, it is... I'm so disconnected to it. It feels amazing, to be totally honest with you. Christmas feels like Monday to me. So that's what it is. Outside of the fact, I think the one thing that may have me, and it's going to be not last minute, but the thing that will have me feel the season in some capacity is, you know, we do the Hug Fest every year on Christmas Eve, so we're going to do that. And that should be kind of cool just to see the family. But other than that, it's very chill, very real laid back. I'm not tripping. I'm more so enjoying just as it's slowing down. I got a few more shows till the end of the year, and then I'm just going to kind of lean into some of this chill time. Watch some movies, you know what I mean? Eat something nice, you know, maybe take a ride or two, things like that. But, like, really chill. Like, I could feel that this feel like the end. You know when you're watching a movie and you could feel the end coming to the movie? Like, you're like, I know, we should have been about 2 hours, something like that. Like, these credits should be coming up soon. That's how I feel right now. Like, yeah. I feel like, let's just shut the door on this 2023 thing. It's been a good look. Happy I made it so far. Happy I made it through. Hopefully make it to 2024. Let's roll these credits. I'm ready. Play the music. Yeah.
I mean, did you feel, you know, any accomplishment this year?
I did. I felt some accomplishment. There were some things that I made some shifts and changes and things like that. So, I could feel the weight of it. I could feel like the changes that I've implemented, and, you know, like, I've noticed some motion that I wanted to create. It's not as significant or immediate as I would have liked it to be, but I'm really like, my mantra, I'm really on some slow motions better than no motion shit and giving myself grace.
No doubt.
And really on some, like, put one foot in front of the other and embrace the play. You know what I'm saying? And it'd be like, but I'll not even embrace the play. Like, embrace the play, but embrace the present. Be grateful for what's going on in the present, because that's all we got. You know, like, the past mm-hmm. is over. The future's not, you know, it's not guaranteed. So in this moment, you got to make the most of this moment and be there for the moment, because that's going to dictate what's next. So, yeah, I felt like that. I felt like, now I was talking to a friend of mine, and she used two words that I thought was really interesting. Tenacity and resilience. I was like, mm-hmm. I was joking. I was like, that sounds like some Mike Tyson shit. You know what I mean? But particularly tenacity. But I felt that.
Right.
You know, like tenacity and resilience. You know, like, you know. And then also just the fact that life is, people are enduring this shit. You know, like, on some level, everybody is dealing with something, you know? So, I think there's, I don't say comfort, but it's just there's things that, you know, you just realize, like, you know, life is, you know, you're going to feel the weight of it, you know? It's dynamic. You're going to feel every up and down of it all, but that's what makes life life. You know, if the shit was just straight across, that'd be flat line. You know, so I've been intentional about the learning, like just paying attention. And you know, man, I'm heavy at the library, literally and figuratively. I'm heavy at the library. I'm reading all types of memoirs and, you know, everything, books, self-help books and things of that nature. Yeah, man. How about you?
I was in motion, man. I had a lot of motion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I felt like, you know what I'm saying, developed two shows that was in production. I felt like, you know what I'm saying, I was getting to it, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. getting to a good place. And then, you know, hit the wall July 25th. But it also felt like afterwards, you know, on July 26th, it was like, damn, if the 25th was your last day, is all what you had done, you know what I'm saying, good enough for you, you know what I'm saying, up until that point? Like, is your collection of life what you wanted to represent you? And then, you know, you'd be like, hell nah, shit. I had a lot of shit I wanted to do, a lot of shit, more shit I wanted to do. I had a lot of ways that I wanted, you know, to be remembered. And I haven't gotten to them. So, really, you just take this next stage as a second, like a bonus, you know what I'm saying? Like, this the bonus. I get to try to get it right this time. You know what I'm saying? And what is it to do to get right? And like, all this time you got, you know, getting rest and getting back to your feet, you think about that. What is the right that you want to do? And you know, I don't have it figured out, but I got down to know that that's omnipresent. The top of head, every day you wake up, you like, you want to do it right. Every decision you make, you like, shit, I want to do this shit right. I don't need to do shit that I felt wasn't right in my first life. Again, in my second life, I learned my lesson. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, not saying that you won't make no mistakes and that you won't, you know, learn new lessons or, you know what I'm saying, bump your head even. But I want to try to get to going out right. You know what I mean? Whenever the fuck that day is. If it's tomorrow or sometimes way in the future. Don't matter. You know what I'm saying? You got another spot, another shot at it. And that's where I'm at, like, rolling into the holidays. First of all, it's like, shit, I'm glad to be able to see another one. You know what I'm saying? try to do it, you know, to make my put some smiles on people's faces, you know what I mean? And then top of year, get back to it, see if I could create motion in the way of how I want the motion to go. And that's where I'm at with it. I'm just, you motherfucking thankful. You know what I'm saying? I guess that's the reason for a lot of this shit. But at the end, in real life will make you thankful. You know what I'm saying? If you're paying attention. And I'm paying attention right now.
Yeah. That's beside, that's the testimony. Yeah. Just keep, you know. Yeah. I ain't laughing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's real.
Nah, it's just, you know, sometimes you say shit, you don't even know what you be saying. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It just be coming out. It's open your mouth and shit started just coming out. So I was just rethinking what I said when I laughed.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's an understatement. What I said was an understatement of to how I really feel. You know what I mean? How it really feels is very on you. It's very present. It's very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just say it like it's nothing.
Right.
But it's really, if you're listening, I don't know if you paying attention or if you going through it yourself, you know this is real. And it's not like a easy little task to even have the thought or to be able to have the thought. It's a heavy task of saying, damn, I'm responsible for all that I am and all that I want to see. And it's nobody else responsible for it. You know what I'm saying? Nobody in your way. You might have people that might not like it, might not agree, but you are responsible for that shit, regardless. And it's easy to just, you know, tiptoe through life and dance through life and it's the white man's fault or I ain't had this, I ain't had a credit or, you know what I'm saying? It's easy to do that shit. But when it's over, that shit's your fault or not. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is what you did. And that's the heavy part because you got to be able to take that weight and do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Are you comfortable with that?
I'm very comfortable with it. I thought I was way more comfortable with it, you know what I'm saying, before, except for, you know what I'm saying, when you had to look back, you look back and be like, yeah, I did this because of that, and I was, you know what I'm saying, trying to make, you know what I'm saying, things be a certain kind of way. And in the end, nigga, just motherfucker be responsible for your life and, nigga, do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, people gonna be mad. Yes, you're going to have to break through obstacles. Yes, that shit going to seem tough. But it ain't no other way. Like, you halfway doing it. You three-quarters of the way doing it. You know what I'm saying? Now, just take the other motherfucking quarter and put it in your mix and just do it all the way, 100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Get that shit. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. No, I get it.
Yeah,
yeah, you got to do that shit. Yeah. You just got to, and it takes, is, you know, it takes time to get to that. Because that's like, you know, you got to undo a whole lot of shit. And it's certain things are like knee jerk, you know, muscle memory.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's almost like, it's like trying to drive, but you still got your foot on the brake every so often. You know, you gotta go all in.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta go all fucking way in. Yeah. And you know, and hope to just drive. You know what I'm saying? Don't think about the crash. Think about the ride. You know.
Yeah. You know. It's just time. Like, a lot of times you feel like you got time.
Mm.
I do that shit tomorrow. I do that shit next week.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing is telling you, nah, nigga, this is shade now. Until you had to see it that way and you be like, damn, just like that?
Right.
Gee. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
you know,
you move.
Yeah. That makes me think about, like, that's why what I was saying, like, being present, you know, like, I'm trying to, like, focus on that because I know for myself, mm-hmm. I could put a whole lot of pressure on what I need to do or what I want to do or what I feel like I should be doing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And compound it with whatever type of reference points I could use to inform that idea, whether that be age or opportunity or whatever, right? And like I said, I just try to be present, take inventory in the moment. And not even always inventory, but just how it feels. You know what I'm saying? Maybe not as sophisticated as the inventory, because sometimes I think of an inventory, I'm thinking about ticking off like a checklist and okay, you know, like when you think about a pilot about to fly a plane, they looking around, they're like, okay, take that and like, I don't even want to be that detailed with it. I just want to be more about how's that shit feel in the moment? What does it feel in the most simple essence of it all? Just try to be connected to that. Am I connected to this moment? Right. Without all of the other shit, I was listening to Kevin Hart have this interview, and somebody asked him. He was like, "Yo, how do you?" It was another comedian. He was like, "Yo, how do you continue to perform at such a top level? You know, at such a high level, and consistently, again and again, at a high level without feeling burnt out? You know, but consistently you're at this high level." And he was like, "He said, 'Cause I don't look at it as performing at a high level.'" He was like, "I don't put that pressure on myself." He was like, "You know, my job is to make people laugh and to have fun." He says, "You know, and if people are laughing and I'm having fun, then my job is done." You know, and then that's it. And I really felt that, because it definitely is times in you know, damn near every show. But anytime I'm performing on some shit, I'm like, this gotta be the one. Not even the one, but like, this shit here, like, you just, at some point, you just have to trust what you got, trust what you bring, realize what you have is enough, and like, and lean into that shit, step into that shit. Like, sometimes I think, for me, there's like this desire of like, not desire, but this thing of like, it's cool for now, but then I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna add that, and I'm gonna add that, and I'm gonna add this, and then this is going, you know what I mean? And then at this point, it's gonna be, you know, it kind of keeps me far away from like, accepting what's going on in the moment and feeling that shit, being disconnected, keeping the shit feeling like more like a blur than a moment. You know what I mean? And it's just like, live in the moment, enjoy the shit, da 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 da, and have fun. And you know, like, cause you know, I know myself, I get caught up in like, all right, that was cool. How could I change that? How could I tweak that? How could I make that better? Or like, if I get off stage, people are like, "Yo, that shit was funny, man. That was good shit. Yeah, nah, I appreciate that. Yo, that one bit you said, nah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm trying to work that out. I'm figuring it out. Da 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 da." It's like, all right, you know, you could do all of that, but also be connected to what was just done. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't know. It's a process though, because there's this you know, I think there's this idea sometimes that I have, like I'm trying to like, this desire to like level up, you know, and not to say that that's not a want, but I don't want it in the way that I'm never satisfied with the level that I'm at. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, cause then it's just, it's almost fruitless. It's just a treadmill, you know? Like, so it's just like, enjoy this shit and just keep enjoying this shit. And I think that's what kind of, for me, I think that will be what informs a lot of, That'll be more about the payoff, or you know what I mean, or not even looking at it as the payoff. Like the payoff is here. The payoff is the opportunity. I just enjoy that opportunity, you know. But yeah, so that's that. You know, it's the normal heady ass 25 minutes of in the conversation. It is what it is. Man, I enjoy it. It is what it is. I'm leaned into it. This is what we do. But
listen, man. Like you said, you've been reading books in the library. And you know what I'm saying? I have taken to, you know, trying to play like some interviews and podcasts and shit like that in the morning. Just as I'm doing shit, you know, saying shit move a lot slower than it used to. And so I understand. I've been listening to a lot of heady shit. That's probably why, you know what I'm saying, I'm coming off heady, you know. But at the end of the day, shit, it is what it is.
That's what it is.
But shit, I'll be, goddamn John Morant coming back tonight, so I'll be enjoying some of that shit.
Okay, yeah.
If he dunking on some niggas again.
You know he going, he been waiting to bang on motherfuckers. I saw a photo.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I saw a meme with him and the gun. It was like, how many shots is he going to let off tonight? Some old silly shit. But, yeah, I didn't even realize, funny enough, like, I knew, I forgot that, you know, they kind of had him sitting for a while. Because I was like, how come I ain't hearing about him in, the, like, the news, the sports media and the circuit? Like, I ain't seeing no highlights or whatever, whatever. And I was like, oh, shit. So, yeah, who is he playing tonight? Who's he? Who's the first game back against?
The Pelicans? I don't know. I didn't even think about that.
Okay. It don't even matter.
Is it Memphis? Yeah, I'm not sure who they play.
Yeah.
Grizzlies. Let's see who they play. Stand by. Let's see. Shit, I don't know. Pelicans.
It is the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I had a homie. Say he was going to New Orleans.
Oh, halfway sports niggas.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I mean? Look, y'all know what it is. Y'all know what this is.
Casual exactly. Ass listener.
Stephen Z. Smith. Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? Oh, shit, man. But yeah, man. So that's that. That's cool, man. Good to. That should be interesting. That should be interesting to see how Ja come through. You know, I was thinking about this shit. You know, like, I see Scarface just had he just put out a new tiny desk. Well, not a new tiny desk, but Scarface just did a tiny desk. And I'm seeing the people like raving about it. I'm hearing good things. Actually, the shit was allegedly so good. Like, I saw people like raving before it even dropped. Like, when this Scarface tiny desk drop,
they saying it was the best one ever. That's what they saying.
I guess that's what they said. I'm gonna tell you something about me and Tiny Desk. I might have said it here before. I don't really fuck with Tiny Desk. I don't really, and wow. I don't understand. I mean, I got a couple ideas why I don't fuck with it. It's not even that hard a stance where it's like, I don't fuck with it. It's not that. It's just something about it. It doesn't pull me in. You know what I mean? I've seen a couple of them as of late. Like, for a while, it was like I had never seen any of them. I was kind of all the way somewhat resistant. I don't know if it's the
you think it is karaoke or some shit?
Yeah, it's karaoke. The NPR of it all feels like the white gaze. You know what I'm saying? I don't think all hip hop needs to be acoustic or with a backing band. Like, it's just the context of it just don't really line up to it, particularly when it comes to hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen some of the, I've watched the Usher joint. You know, that was classic or whatever. That was the one that was running around. I've watched some good ones. I'll be honest with you. Did I not talk about that? I like the Juvenile Tiny Desk. And I liked it because he did not censor not one bit of that shit. You know what I'm saying? He kept all of the profanity and all of that shit in there. You know what I mean? I might fuck around and watch this Scarface shit. But it's just something about it that makes me like I don't lean into it like everybody else. I just, for whatever reason, it's like I've already kind of speculated on what it could be, but something about it does not make me press play. I see it, but I don't see it. as old Bevy Smith would say, I see it and I don't see it. I keep it moving. I don't even add to watch mm-hmm. later. I just keep moving, keep scrolling. But
it was good, man. It was good.
Yeah.
Listen, Tiny Desk is what it is for what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I salute NPR for really taking a step towards hip hop, even before it was a cool or a thing. Tiny, you know what I'm saying? Like even maybe 10, 11 years ago, they was doing like some album releases. You like, God damn, what the fuck NPR doing with that? You know what I'm saying? Like, they've been on top of some shit for a minute when nobody was looking. You know what I'm saying? So as Tiny Desk becomes a thing, they've been doing that shit. You know, all kinds of music, all kinds of things, but they've been laying their hand in it when the hip hop media was in disarray. You know what I'm saying? They just stayed steady, stayed under the radar, stayed in their lane. And now they got a thing. The acoustic thing in hip hop is a real fucking challenge. And it doesn't always play. Mm-hmm. But with the type of music that, you know, Juvenile, even Scarface makes, it kind of lends itself to the band. You know what I'm saying? The band can still do its thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to lose the energy, but you're not going to lose the song, you know? I watch a lot of the Scarface. I watch maybe 30% of the Scarface. I was looking for the songs I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the acoustic did bring it down. You know what I'm saying? He is an older man. You already got a problem with the Martin Luther King flow, mm-hmm. which is way more pronounced now. You know what I'm saying? Which, you know, yeah. makes for good Scarface, but I can see why you don't fuck with it.
Mm.
I had one problem
with
the Scarface.
Talk about it, please.
I mean, one problem with niggas performing with bands anyway, but particularly with this Scarface one. I particularly don't like when niggas like change the cadence of the song. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like say At Night I Can't Sleep, I toss and turn, candlesticks in the dark, visions of bodies getting burned. You know what I'm saying? Like he was doing like some old sophisticated ass, you know what I'm saying? At night I can't sleep, toss and turn, candlesticks in the dark.
Get out of here.
Body's getting burned. And he was like, come on, man. I need that shit. I'm trying to rap along with it.
Stick
I
to
can't
the
rap along with it with this new cadence.
Yeah,
you know what
man.
I'm saying? Like, this new cadence is too sophisticated for me. You know what I'm saying? I need the regular old shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
And that threw me off. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because he was censoring the shit himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He'd be like, you know what I'm saying? Where he's like dropping bees on the motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? That's part of the song.
Mm-hmm.
This nigga got a whole another line he say to clean it up, which is fine. You know what I'm saying? Scarface is another brother who's seen the white light. Almost didn't make it.
Yep.
Through COVID.
Yep.
So
and before
it's good
that.
To see him out yeah. here. You know what I'm saying? Good to see him out here doing that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The music actually sound good. He had a nice little backing band. They all grown now. Mike Dean grown. You know what I'm saying? The backup singers was grown. He grown. Which is fine because I'm grown. And he not the same Scarface he used to be. But he sounded good. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, this a layup for him to go get some money. You know?
Right.
So I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? I looked at some old Ghetto Boys imagery from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they pulled them boys right off the goddamn sidewalk, dog.
Yo.
You be like, God damn. Like,
dusted
they,
them
like,
off.
You know what I'm saying? They really look like, not
some
even dusted,
boys.
Nigga. Come on, get on over there. Get on over there. Like,
absolutely.
They ain't got a clean pair of shoes, nigga.
Yeah.
Scarface looked like he was 4'10".
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, how tall? Like, he Bushwick Bill about the same height.
Right. That's crazy.
You but know, his voice was so big, you couldn't tell.
You know, his it's interesting. But go ahead. Keep going.
Nah, go ahead. I'm done.
You sure? Done. Keep going. Keep cooking.
Yeah. I'm sure, man. It's a conversation.
All right. Yo, The conversation. And you are in the conversation right now. I say this. Back to the, because I do like NPR. Like, I do want to say that. I like a lot. I like Fresh Air. Shit, I would love to be on that bitch at some point. Like, I like NPR. I like some of the shit that they do. I think it is more a lot of the acoustic live hip hop. That shit is hit or miss a lot of the times. We you know, you just spoke to it. It's hit or miss. So I do want to say that. I want to speak to two things. One, it's funny that you was looking at old Ghetto Boys. So was I. I was listening to some old, I was listening to like their first couple albums. They sound like a Houston, like they was really on some Run DMC shit. Like their approach to it, it didn't get to like, because I think my first real, where I paid attention to the Ghetto Boys must have been My Mom's Playing Tricks on Me. You know, before that, I don't think they was truly on my radar like that. So when I was like, let me double back and see what the early shit, because I realized My Mom's Playing Tricks on Me came out like maybe three albums in to their career. So I went to their first album just to see what the vibe was, and it was like, it was that yelling Run DMC shit. Like, it just sound like they was the Houston Run DMC.
You got like, that shit was fucked up.
You saying I thought it? No, I ain't saying it was, well, I'm not saying it was fucked. It's not really, I guess it's a judgment. I didn't like it because it didn't sound like the Ghetto Boys that I had grown to know. It sound more like them doing what was popular at the time. Like, it felt like
Did you see the pictures?
I didn't look at the pictures. I was just listening. It was an audio only experience. So I guess had I seen what you said, had I seen the
like,
the
man,
patina,
I'm just happy these boys is off the block, man. Just, God damn, I'm proud of you, boy.
Exactly. Happy they're getting some money, so they ain't got to take mine. These motherfuckers was going through it. But I ain't see that. But the last thing that you said about, and see, that's why I don't like a lot of this live shit. Not even just this live shit, but this, like, I'm mature. So sometimes there are these little tropes that come with maturity. I remember a friend of mine had like a fucking, like, some type of luncheon or something. You know what I mean? For his lady or whatever. And I forget what record it was, but it was like a hip-hop-ass record, but they was playing it on the sax, and you didn't need to do that. But I see why you did that, because you wanted to feel elevated and upscale. So now I feel like I'm in Neiman Marcus when this is not a Neiman. You know what I mean? Like, nigga, we don't need to hear the fucking Quiet Storm version of Give Up the Goods. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, just, like, take it easy. Like, stick to what it was. Stick to the spirit of it. But back to the so like, even I think another trope is that whole, that delivery, that, then right. I always joke about NPR. NPR, right. They don't have that, but NPR has this very precious cadence in the way that we're talking about things. You know, we need to. And that's kind of what I see when I see, and that's why I say the white gaze, like, it just feels like this, and then like when I see in the juvenile shit, when they pan the crowd, it wasn't just white people, but it just, the context of it all just looked like,
niggas at work.
Yeah, niggas at work. That would be a better name. Tiny Desk, niggas at work. Niggas on your job. But
exactly. Yeah. Everybody acting like they at work, nigga.
Yeah. But the last thing, but talk about cadence, another thing, I watched the Big Daddy Kane Idea Generation, right? Shout out to Noah Callahan Bevers, you know, interview series where they talking. Not all of them are live, but they've been doing some live ones, but they had Big Daddy Kane on there. And I thought it was one of the dopest things, and real vulnerable and transparent. And Big Daddy Kane had said, he was talking about like some of his later records, which makes me kind of want to go back to his later records, because when he's talked about what informed, what was the decision to do certain things. You know what I mean? And now that I'm a little older now, maybe I could kind of be a little bit more considerate of the shift. But when I was young, I was like, man, if y'all don't get the fuck out of here with this, ain't Kane. You know,
when he started putting the taco meat out there.
Yeah, it made me uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? When the lighting was too dim in the photo, and there's a lot of curtains and a nigga in a fucking robe. I don't need to see none of that pop. This shit, I feel like I need to get the fuck out of here. But
yeah, man, because you at that age where you still formulating your right. style, you're like, man, yeah. I can't get with this.
Nah, this ain't it. This nigga got a little slipper sensibility. You know what I mean? You know, when they got the slippers on and shit. I go, hold on. Yeah, so, but what he said, because we always joke about, you know, cadences, right? So you still, I think, the looks like a job for an album. And he was, you know, he had worked with, like, I guess whoever was hot at the time, Trackmasters, Large Professor, I forget somebody else, but like, oh, Easy Mo B, people that were rocking at the time. Mm. You know what I mean?
What songs he made up with them?
right, exactly, right? So this is the thing, because I think I do remember one of the Easy Mo B records. But it may be one of the Trackmaster records too, but I can't name them by name. But anyway, he was like, you know, the shit kind of bricked, right? You know, and this was like in the, this was kind of his response to like Kane might have fell off, right? So the shit kind of bricked. And he said immediately, he started blaming the producers. He was like, oh, them niggas gave me the whack batch, the bullshit, you know what I mean? That's why they gave me the B-level tracks, whatever, whatever. He said he was chilling one day driving, and like a Method Man record came on, and he started hearing like how Method Man was like behind the beat, you know what I mean? Like laid back in the, you know, and he was listening to Nas. He was like, you know, this like the weed smoking era. You know what I'm saying? It was funny. But then he was like, he said, at that moment I realized it wasn't them, it was me. It was like my cadence. My cadence is, I'm still rapping like a nigga from the 88. You know what I mean? But like, because your fan might have that realization before you. Because I was like, you know, you see the shit shift. But then what was crazy was, he was like, yo, so then I just started, he went to Harlem, singing up with some crew of rappers. He said, I bring like a fifth of Henny and some blunts, and we just chill on the corner and just rap, just be ciphering. Like, he basically went to the Learning Annex for the new flow. And I was like, man, right. I like that, because, you know, arguably Kane was one of the illest ever. You know what I'm saying? And then he kind of wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't keep in step with the times. He kind of fell behind the times. And a lot of times, you know, your ego could have you, you know, resistant to change. And the fact that he was like open and vulnerable enough and aware enough to say, yo, you know what, let me shift this. Let me humble up and go see the new generation and kind of take some critique and some guidance. I was like, all right, bad. I fuck with that. You know what I mean? So it was cool.
Kane was always a cool gentleman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I seen a piece of that where he was expressing some humor that you don't really get to see out of Big Daddy Kane. You know what I'm saying? I know, I say it all the time. I fashioned myself as the light-skinned Big Daddy Kane back where I was, you know what I'm saying, when I was coming up. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you do that, you can't go taco meat for him. You're like, oh, wait a minute now.
Right. Yeah.
Man. I'm not following you there, Kane, but goddamn. So, you know, I appreciate it. I don't know if he ever made it out of that, though, out of his Learning That X era.
Nah,
appreciate it.
He can rap. Like, he could. He don't sound super dated when he raps. Like when he, like he had a record, I think it was called Platinum Plus. It had a record with him and Big L, and it still sound a little like Kane. You know, the voice and the flow wasn't, you know, he ain't gonna turn into Nas, but it sounded a little bit more relevant. You know what I'm saying? Like, he still sounds like somebody from back then. It's really hard. It's really hard to, like, transcend era, you know?
Right. Because that should be, it'd be on you. Like, you know what I'm saying? The way you hear, the way you see, the way you move comes from the era you come from. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, the way you talk, like, you still hear things in a certain way. You know what I mean? You hear your mama's voice, or you hear your uncles talking. you hear, you know what I mean? Even that ain't your era, it still informs you. Mm-hmm. The next generation don't be informed by that shit. Like me, I'm informed by niggas who be like Jive Tacky, you know what I'm saying? shit like that. Like, so the next, my son, them, they ain't never heard nobody even say that type shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
That sound like slave shit, damn near.
Right, like what? Jive Turkey.
What the fuck is that? Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So the way they create is gonna be a whole lot different, man. The best thing you could do is find your space, man, and learn how to get people to understand your space. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like it's hard because like sometimes you in an era where you don't have all the things that that translated with you. You know what I'm saying? So like if you say Run DMC, like of course they was the leaders of the pack, but they stuff hasn't really translated as well because, mm-hmm. you know, to me, my own theory on that is that the drums and the patterns that they use were so much different that people didn't adopt those drums and patterns that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, they ain't have much 808s in the early years. They did. They was partial inventors of bringing out the 808, but they didn't stick with it. You know what I'm saying? Which probably would have been their saving moving to the future, Grace.
Mm. Yeah. I've also realized as I've gotten older, like, my classics aren't the next generation's classics, you know?
And, no, sir. You know,
like, yeah, them shits is like, shit is getting borderline archaic, right? And then.
See, your classics ain't even your partner's classics, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, damn, nigga, what you listening to? Oh.
Right. It's true. And then I, like, as you were just saying this, I'm thinking about it, and this, I don't think there is anything that is really timeless. We like to throw that shit around, and it sounds cool, but I think whatever is timeless is kind of informed by nostalgia and propaganda, but... Mm-hmm. Because when I see people, like, kind of, not even in a foul manner, but more so in a critical manner, like, when they dissect things that seem to be timeless and untouchable, like, mm-hmm. I've just kind of gotten out of the fact of being triggered by that. Like, what are you saying? What are you talking about? How could you ever? But that's just how people look at the world. People look at the world. Mm-hmm. Everybody got new microscopes. You know what I'm saying? Some of that shit be looking funny in the light. And you so, you know, it's like becoming nose blind. You know what I'm saying? Somebody might walk in your crib like, yo, this shit funky. You like, what are you talking about? You don't even smell that shit because you live there. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you know, it's like a, I don't know, man. Recently I've been looking at a lot of shit like just like, you know, is that just... Is that just some marketing? Is that just some mythology? Is that just put together? Like, because, you know, all of this shit is at some point could be up for review, you know? Like, mm-hmm. shit that you held dear. And then sometimes when you just shake off the emotion of it all and the nostalgia of it all, you could kind of see, yeah, that shit was crumbling. That shit was problematic. You know what I mean? That shit should have been going, to be totally honest with you. I guess that's out of step. But it is what it is.
Some shit ain't gonna make it through, player.
Yeah.
And some shit just for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got my, I listen to my funk music, man. You know what I'm saying? Nigga laugh. Nigga say Tom.
No, because it sounds so personal. My funk nigga music. And like, nah, nigga, that shit sound funny though.
No, I'm saying I got me some good music, man.
Yeah,
some good
of course.
Songs that I fuck with. You know, I wasn't attracted to like the modern mainstream R&B classics and stuff like that. You know, prior to hip hop. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? But there was a segment of music prior to hip hop that was like funk and fucking go-go and you know, electronic shit like Kraftwerk and all that type shit,
mm-hmm.
that resonated with me. and it plays nowhere right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, this except shit didn't play nowhere then, and it don't play nowhere now. I mean, it's it plays in its own corners. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you play in D.C. for Go-Go, you know what I'm saying? The funk gonna play where the funk play at, you know what I mean? But it's not mainstream. It was never mainstream. You hear it in samples, but when you listen back to it, it's still, it, because it's not mainstream, it never got played out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Ain't nobody just burn it to the ground to where everybody just fucking with it. So it still retains its own nostalgia. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got this Cameo song. Not Cameo. I got this, Ohio Players, right? Mm-hmm. They got this song, actually, song Ecstasy that they sampled in the Biggie Jay-Z song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brooklyn's Finest.
You play that shit. You play that shit by itself, man, you are instantly transported into a neighborhood lounge. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Ain't no dance floor, just real niggas in that bitch. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no playing, just niggas having a good time amongst themselves on a Sunday. You know what I'm saying? When regular niggas got to go to work type shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know this ain't for regular people. This is for people who have made their own way, made their own world.
Mm.
And that's the type of shit, you know, I like about some nostalgia is that you could create your own worlds to shit that don't exist in the mainstream place. You know what I'm saying? Where you feel like you can exist as the person you are. And I like shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I don't want all my classics to be classics to the world. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Classics to the world, they got their place. They got all the awards. They got all the pictures in the magazine. I had never seen no video or pictures of Ohio Players other than the album covers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do remember it. I remember going to Cleveland and hearing all that funk shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck is going on? What is this stuff? And, you know, maybe you know, your nostalgia don't fit, and maybe you don't fit in a lot of places, but you fit where you fit, and you create how you create, and it's because of those elements. You know what I'm saying? This type of shit your mama liked, but she wasn't really, you know what I'm saying, able to say shit like this, but she was in there on Sunday night. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? That type of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's like when I say, to that point, when I say classic or timeless, particularly timeless, when I say there's no timeless, I just feel like there's no across the board timeless. Like, it's like unilateral. It's your own personal shit. It'll be timeless to you because there's records that I'll play to this day. Once that beat drop, it takes me right back to the feeling that I felt the first time I heard that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it whatever that feeling is, it's just like, boom, it's effective damn near every time, you know? And I realize I can't even expect everybody else to feel it like I feel it. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just, it's taste. We're dealing with subjective shit, you know? Like, and to that point, I think that is like, that is something that is like how you say, you know, I got my funk, you know what I mean? I don't even know what I call my shit, but I got my doses of various vibes or whatever that I want to hear. Like that, you know, it's like sneakers, it's like clothes, it's like, okay, I want to feel like this today, I'm gonna play this, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And to me, it feels like this is how I feel, this is the shit. You know, I had a woman tell me, she was like, hey, you play records like my father. And mind you, she's the same age as me. You know what I mean? I'm like, what the fuck? But I think a lot of that shit might have come from like just various contexts, being in a fly ass whip with, you know what I'm saying, maybe my brother-in-law or like my pops or something like that, and then blasted some older shit that may not have been for me, but it was their shit, but it put me, like, they the way they felt it, it was understandable. It was infectious, and I'm like, all right, bet. Add to, you know what I mean? Like, that's the memory or whatever. Or, like, you know, just a lot of shit. I always like to see one thing about music, but beyond how it affects me, sometimes, like, when I'm paying attention to how it affects others, you know what I mean? And then you take it all in, like how you were just saying about how the Ohio players, you set a scene of just catch this living life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, just, like, non-committed to whatever the rest of the world is doing. They doing their own thing. And this is the soundtrack right. to independence exactly. on a certain level. You know what I mean? And it just feels like something, you know? So, hell yeah, I'm with it. And, you know, but, you know, to others, it might sound dated as shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like nothing. But yeah. They don't have the reference points. You know
absolutely
what I'm saying?
Not.
Like,
yep. Yeah.
Sometimes you discover stuff, like when we used to sample and you just dig it through records, you discover stuff that you have no reference to, but you like it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you have that thing. Mm-hmm. But then there's some things that you do have reference and it just takes you to those places. And there's some things you make up places for things that exist. Like, I'm sure the hard part about Andre 3000 is it has no reference to it yet. You know what I'm saying? He's just doing some shit he like. You know what I'm saying? And then it's up to the world to make references to it or put it in places and or him to make a video or something type of experience where it's like, oh, that's that type mm-hmm. shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's going to work out. And that part of the whole reason he even did the flute album was back to what we were talking about with Kane in the first place was he said, you know, so many rappers, when they, you know, they get on the mic, they sound, you could hear the time, they sound dated. They sound like mm-hmm. an era. And he was like, the flute don't sound like an era. You know what I mean? Unless mm-hmm. you're talking to a flautist, they'd be like, nigga, that's that 81 flute. But to most people that listen to hip hop, they not saying, ho, you know what I mean? Like, it's just the flute. It's some different shit. You right. can't timestamp a flute, you know,
right.
unless, you know. Unless you, again, like I said, unless you are a flute enthusiast. But mm-hmm. there it is, man. Speaking of time stamping, I feel like it's about that time that we talk about, you know, Raising Kane in the Far
Gizzo.
TV time, that's what it is. Where you want to go first?
You know, we go with the white folks.
Okay, all right, well, where's this set again? I always be forgetting. This is in...
it's by North Dakota, but it's somewhere else. It's,
okay.
Yeah, I saw that. When I was watching it, I saw that the sheriff comes from North Dakota.
Okay,
but
yeah.
I don't think that's not where the family lives. Dorothy mm-hmm. and her in-laws, the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll find out, but it's not North Dakota. I want to say Minneapolis, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Part of me wants to, I've been hearing that, I haven't seen Fargo the movie in a while. It's a good ass movie. I see it's on HBO Max. I might rewatch. I don't know if you fucking with that, if you want to do that. But I think that from what I've been hearing, it's a lot of this season is kind of remixing a little bit of the movie. Like they sampling some of the things from the movie or inspired by the movie directly, more directly than any other season has ever been. So I might double back and see what it is. Get into this episode. I enjoyed this episode. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it's starting to get real now.
Yeah, it's starting to get real. Starting to pick up some momentum. We starting to kind of understand where the characters are at. What I like about these characters, though, for the most part, nobody is all the way good or all the way evil. You know, like
mm-hmm.
everybody has a little bit of darkness to them. Except maybe a couple of them, but for the most part, everybody could kind of, You said what? Husband. Yeah, except the husband is like, yeah, he's a, you know, he's just dazed and confused. You know what I'm saying? He out of it. And then the, I was about to say even the police officer, but she's starting to, I don't want to say be compromised, but yeah, somewhat compromised or at least influenced. So we're going to see what's going to happen to her. She got that debt. That debt will have you do some crazy shit and make you desperate. And she got debt and her husband in there swinging that golf club like they up $20 million. You know what I'm saying? So he seemed like he ain't even tapped into what's going on financially in the home. He seemed just as dazed and confused as the husband that's in the hospital on a certain level. Go ahead.
No, I just got my own theory on the basically the theme of this season.
Okay.
And with you know, toxic masculinity and mansplaining and a woman's right, or not even right, a woman's place in actually wheeling and dealing. You know what I'm saying? And they put the two women at the lead of that. You got the billionaire woman and you got the tiger. You know what I'm saying? And then you have all of these men that are coming against them. You know what I'm saying? In a certain way. And the billionaire woman come against everybody. But, you know, they're making various points of how men are behaving towards women in this particular season. I did notice that in this episode.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. It's kind of, I don't say it's heavy-handed, but it's definitely there. You see that shit.
No, yeah, it's for you to know.
Yeah, it is true. They call it out. You know, you seen the billionaire when she's sitting there about to buy the bank or pitching to buy the bank. She was like, yo, just because you called me, what did she call me, lady or something like that?
She called me lady.
Yeah, I'm about to chop $10 million off of the quote. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know. Like, I'm fucking with her character. I like that she just be, you know, flexing on whomever. You know what I'm saying? It's her way or no way. You know? She's damn near. It's funny, like, her scene with her and John Hamm. What's his name as the officer? But when they have their scene, you know, like it was a good face off because that was kind of the first time he ever really, maybe he's playing a role, but that was the first time he ever really kind of came across deferential. You know what I'm saying? Like, pardon me, like, you know, like, yeah, like deferential. You know, he even said literally, "I'm sitting here with my hat in my hand. You know, I'm trying to appeal to you." Like, man, I don't give a fuck about none of that. You know what I mean? Right. Like, look, I hear what you're saying.
One, you out your jurisdiction.
Player. Yeah.
Two, you out your weight league. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, shit. She dealing business how she do it.
Right. You going to take this check or nah? You need a check? You know what I'm saying? A little fuck off money? You know what I'm saying?
She tired of this shit. Going on about your business now.
Right. I don't even know why we having this conversation as long as we having this conversation. Yo, Danish, get him up out of here. I didn't realize my man's name was Danish until
me neither, man.
He was like, I can't respect a man named after a pastry.
Right. Like, oh, then shit. The other one was like, oh, my man named after a girl?
Right. Oh, man. But, so where it all begins, it starts off the mother, Lorraine Lyon, and shout out to Nadine. Shout out to Nadine Graham. She had this. I seen her put up a theory talking about, you know, these are the lions, and then there's what they're talking about Dot's character as being a tiger. They saying lions and tigers have had eternal beef. I'm not even sure. I don't know about that. But it was an interesting theory. There's something to think about. So, you know, just on some old
Do they even live in the same place?
I don't know. See, that's why I probably should even said all of that. That's why. But I thought it was an interesting theory. Y'all go ahead and do your own research. see if that holds up or not. You know what I mean? But salute, you know what I mean, one of our listeners. But yeah, so it opens up with Dot being, I don't know, I guess she's at Lorraine's house, you know, resting or whatever. Mm-hmm. Lorraine just like, you know what, man, fuck this. I don't feel comfortable with her around like this, you know. Commit her. You know what I'm saying? Put her in a mental institution.
Nah, it was a move to be able to take over their whole shit. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Both of them had to be incapacitated for her to take over the whole shit or whatever it was she was trying to do. So they was like, go ahead and commit her, and then she'll be able to make the move she's trying to make.
Right. Got you. Okay. What was the move she was trying to make? Get the daughter, like, get Scotty.
Yet. We don't know yet. It's like she wants to take over, like to be what they call that shit with the lawyer.
Power of attorney.
Yeah, to get power of attorney. Uh-huh. Both of them had to be incapacitated, so that's what she was doing with her. Okay, we don't know why yet, but of course it's to make her moves.
So you know it's crazy because when you got money like that, especially if somebody's staying at your house, it's kind of wild that shit was just like. There was no real fight to that. It was just, you're just about to get committed against your will. It's nothing you could do because I got these cats here. They're going to take you in. They're unfortunately not going to be able to take you in without a fight. And she told them. She was like, look, you know what I mean? Like, look, I don't like to be backed into a corner, you know, gentlemen. I would hate to have to hurt you, but that's, you know, look, for real, I don't even really feel good even bringing the fact that I will hurt you up in this conversation because I would like to keep this a cordial, civil conversation. But I do need to inform you that if you do try to take me down, shit's going to happen to you physically. I will maim you. I might take out one of your eyes. I might break your nose. Like, things, it's not going to be an easy, it's not going to walk in the park at all by any means. Mm-hmm. And you know, you see her being taken out on the gurney, strapped down, but they looked abused. And I was like, that line, she was like, I told you. I just thought that shit was funny. Like, I told you. And they was fucked up. That was back to what Merc said, dog. This is not what I expected. You told me this was like a little petite young woman. Ooh, I thought I could just scoop up, throw it in the back of the car. Nah, this is a tiger. And you owe me more for this. So, yeah, I think they might need to get some hazard pay because shit looked terrible for them. So that happens.
They take her in.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. Nah, they take her in and, you know what I'm saying, now she's trying to execute her plan to get away from their motherfucking ass in the hospital. And I had to do a lot of trickery to do so. And, you know, she's real quick on her feet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they, you know, you got the narrator, the 50 Cent of Fargo, telling the side story, you know what I'm saying, about the whole shit. And it's like, you know, female tigers are typically genius, especially when it comes to protecting their child or their husband. And then they decide that they coming to take her husband. So she plays the whole thing out to where she's able to get them to believe that they took her husband, but it was the wrong motherfucker that she already killed. Did she already kill him or she knocked him out? But I thought he was already dead.
Who?
The guy who room she went in and she had the jacket and she smothered him.
Yeah, I think she just knocked him out. I think she knocked him out because remember when they did take him, the black dude was like, we had to tenderize him a little bit. He was an asshole. So I guess.
I didn't hear him say that.
Yeah. He had to tenderize him. They showed his face. They had to give him a little, throw him a beating, which was a funny way to say we whipped his ass. We had to tenderize him. But what's also funny is he's an asshole because y'all trying to kidnap him and he put up a fight. That's being an asshole, which is funny. But then another thing, a note on the narration, that's Jason Schwartzman. And what I noticed, I heard recently that with these Fargos, so it's like the protagonist from the last season narrates the next season. So, yeah. So that's, he was on the Chris Rock season. You know,
nigga employed.
Like kind of like how HBO would do that. Yo, make sure your number's still the same. You know what I mean? But yeah. So yeah, they tapped his jaw a couple times. He's still alive, but they took him out of there. Got the wrong guy. She dipped out the window.
Then old Roy show up to the house to have his conversation with his hat in his hand. Funniest thing about that conversation, dog. Old girl hit him with a, listen, slick. Listen, slick. I don't know what you're thinking, but take this check, keep it moving. Right. But listen, slick, to a nigga like him, he was sick.
right. Yeah. She talk money. I don't want to hear you. Your money ain't long. I can't talk to you, bro. I don't even understand you. I don't even understand what you talk. I don't even understand how you got in here. You know what I'm saying?
Plus, your 7 years, after 7 years, a missing person is presumed dead. So, shit, right. The claim ain't no claim.
Look at
and
that.
That's my husband. That's my son's property.
Right.
So, it's interesting that they pumping what they're pumping as women, but then she's still, you know what I'm saying, selling the old way to the old guard. Like, you know what I'm saying? She's my son's property.
Right.
Like damn.
Which you see a lot. Which you see a lot. You know, like as much as women don't like the patriarchy, oftentimes if they have a child that's a boy, they'll purport the patriarchy. They'll use that patriarchy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, look, I've seen it in play. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you don't like to be told, you don't like to be looked at as just a woman, but at the same time, for your son, this woman over here, that's your property. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of, there's some contradiction there. You know what I mean? It's just interesting to see. But, yeah, man. Send all hate tweets to D-Lemon Comedy. Keep going, brother.
Shit, and I got down. as we see, the local beat cop is you know, investigating the disappearance and breaking out of the hospital. So she shows up at the Lions $1 billion residence. A lot of play at the mansion this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Keep that location fees down.
Yeah.
She's coming to try to work her case, which has been stonewalled the whole time. And she, as soon as she comes in, old billionaire matriarch shuts it down with the, ain't you in debt? Ain't you a debtor? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, to about $119,000. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got student loans, got medical bills, credit cards. You know what I'm saying? What you want? You know what I'm saying? Basically. So shut her whole shit down, made her feel bad about her living situation and run on home, you know what I'm saying? And which when Dottie comes to take her daughter, brings her to the police house, which I guess she, in her mind, that's the only person she could trust in this equation, which, you know what I'm saying, is kind of ridiculous because you ain't really offering shit, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got nothing on the debt. You ain't got nothing on the golf clubs. You know what I'm saying? You just showed up with a plea. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That motherfucker already been chasing you. You already been giving her a hard time. I don't see what's stopping her from just, you know what I'm saying, taking your daughter in and dragging your ass in. But this TV.
It's TV.
We got to see how it play out.
I think she appealed to her on some, like, woman-to-woman shit. I think now we also kind of find out a little bit more about Dottie. Looks like she was abused in her past situation. Like, John Hamm was hitting her, you know what I mean, with that Ike Turner. You know what I'm saying? So there's that.
It sounded like she was kidnapped and you know, ran upon.
Probably, yeah.
Because she said they, and she's like, "What do you mean they?"
Yeah. That is true. She did say they. So it's you know, some plural situations going on. Then, I mean, quietly, I don't know if she's seen it up close, but at this point, I think within this little small town, word's getting around that Dottie ain't really one to fuck with. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's starting to become a little gooch. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? You don't want fuck with Dottie. Like, look, if Dottie coming to you with her hat in hand, take it. You know what I'm saying? Because shit could get nasty. She's a long trail of tears and teeth and, you know what I mean, broken legs and all types of havoc that she done wreaked in this fucking town. And this town is small enough to where everybody talking about it, you know? So I think there's that. And I think, you know, again, I think she just kind of has a soft spot for, you know, and maybe even the fact that, I don't know. Like I said, a lot of these characters, they're very hard to pin down. What they're really in it for, what's their motivation, right? But there's a part of me that's like assuming that, you know, this woman, I have to figure out, I don't find her name, but she's like kind of reduced to her debt, you know?
Right.
Like the only call she's getting about is her debt. Her husband ain't really checking for her. He over there just swinging that golf cart, you know, that golf club. He, you know, they don't seem like they really connected. He seems like he's totally unaware of what the hell is going on in Dira. And I think that Dottie is probably the only person that kind of sees some value in her. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sees her for more than what she owe. And also, like, gives her an opportunity to be like, yo, can you help me? You know? Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, everybody else kind of looking like, you can't do shit for me. You can't even help yourself. So, maybe there's
somebody
that.
Somebody need her.
Yeah, somebody need her. She feels necessary to somebody and not necessary just to go ahead and pay this bill. You know?
Right.
So.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, there's that. You know what I'm saying? It's getting good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Is they're stitching it together good. You know what I'm saying? You got old Wesley Snipes look alike,
right? Yes, yo, I thought the same thing. Little great value Wesley Snipes. Yeah, man. Yeah, I saw that, man. I was like, what's going on, man? Yeah, and John Hamm disrespecting him on some real jailhouse shit. When he kissed at him, when he walked by, I was like, oh, damn, this cat is...
Oh, no, no, not him. The other one that's with Roy.
That was in the truck. Oh, you calling him Wesley Snipes?
Yeah.
That's more Lance Reddick. I call... You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think the other cat, the cat that's working with Lorraine and them is like a little fake Wesley Snipes-looking cat. Like a light-skinned Wesley Snipes a little bit. Same little Wesley Snipes fro. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, check that out next time you watch. That's who I thought you was talking about.
Nah, okay. I mean, when I looked into the... When they first showed up in the truck, and he was like, give the phone to young Wesley, or whatever his name was.
Oh, okay.
I was like, that nigga, is that Wesley? Nah, that ain't Wesley.
Nah. Yeah. That was funny, too, when he gave him the phone. He ain't even speak. He just, all right, back. Hey, you stay in the car.
That's all he had to say.
Yes, to keep him in
Tell
the car.
Tell that little nigga to stay in the car.
Yeah, basically, I got it. No problem. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, wasn't no murk in this episode. Yeah, so it should be cool. Let's take it to Southside. It's a good episode.
Let's see. Southside. Open for Business, episode 3.
That the name of the episode?
Yeah, Open for Business. That's okay. You know, representative of Kanan and his new venture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I guess we in Queens, Southside. You know, as it starts off, you know what I'm saying, we get straight to Ronnie settling short debts, you know what I'm saying? These ain't even old debts. This is just a debt from a couple hours ago. You know what I'm saying?
You think it was that same night?
I don't know if it was the same night, but goddamn. Yeah. The next scene he was in, he was, you know what I'm saying, smashing the nigga head in.
Right.
So the very next scene from Ronnie for Ronnie is the murder of the security guard who questioned his fashion gear coming out of prison.
Yeah, we seen this coming.
Oh yeah,
this
yeah. I mean, he was stewing about this the whole time. So Ronnie ain't got shit else to do but stew. You know what I'm saying? It's time it's time for this nigga to get his own spot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Come on, Ronnie. You wilding out now. Yeah,
this nigga right here making the old lady uncomfortable.
Right. Come on now. You know, that's
he
rule
might
number
be
one.
With a side, bitch.
Come on, Ronnie. What are you
Ronnie
doing?
Dropping dime.
Dry snitching. Now I'm really
he
looking at you.
Dry.
You.
He was just straight up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's true. Okay. Super snitching.
Yeah. And he threatened Unique's new piece. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? He probably knew that he was hitting when he said, I should have killed her in the streets. Maybe it's about time to do that now.
Yeah.
He looked at he probably seen the look on Unique's face, like, come on, man, that's my time back. You know?
Yeah. And he got that little Michael Myers hover, like when he was hovering around Kanan and Famous. He just across the street, you know what I mean? Not even being like in the cut or nothing. He's just there, like looking wild. Mm-hmm. The same Lee's on. Yeah.
It looked like Unique might be really into Rocky.
Oh, but see, it looked like it. He's been... This is like the second time. What makes you say that? Because I got something that makes me kind of feel that too. What made you say that?
Well, I don't know. It just feel that way. And I know that they did that. They showed that one little face after he got up out of the bed and left, put his leather pants back on. Rock had that face. That Rock had that face like, all right, little nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Take it easy. And she kind of let him know.
To the
door. Yeah, look. Yeah, like she ain't walk up to the door. Nigga, you find your way out. Look, nobody is going to fuck with what I do. Like, nobody going to have no
real... Nobody going to change me.
Not at all, young man. She hit him with the... And then he hit her with the real tender kiss at the end. And then... There's moments where I ain't know you was a butterscotch girl or a butter pecan girl. And then it was the other thing where he was like, yo, you can't even let me get comfortable. Like, he want to damn near move in. Like, he don't got a fucking wife and a son. He want to really lay up. She's like, look, bro, ain't nobody going to get comfortable in here but me and my son. I'm telling you. I'm keeping it 100. I'm being honest about where you stand. This is cool for the moment. You know what I'm saying? Funny enough, her arm is right back. Like, before her arm was in a sling and all of that shit, her arm right on back now.
I mean, Marvin ain't got no sense of being shot in the belly.
Right. There's some good doctors out there.
Nigga, they move like Tyreek, nigga, out here.
They move like Wolverine. They got adamantium. Them motherfuckers is good as hell. But I think he catch your feelings low key. You know what I mean? Like he wide open off of Rocky. He probably been open off of her for a while. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Cause she kind of been moving like a boss. She a little older. She's a little bit more established. I thought it was cool though. Not cool, but maybe surprising a little bit. Not even surprising, cause he seemed like he's above board, but thought it was cool that he told her, look, I'm jumping into business with Stefano, just FYI. And she don't seem like she really was tripping. She was like, all right, you move fast, you know.
Yeah, but you know, she throwing that lightweight, seemed like misdirection-ass pillow talk. You know what I'm saying? I got all my money in the storage. Got to find a way to spread it around. You know, is you really saying this to Unique?
Right. Right, this cat.
We gonna see. We gonna see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. So, what else did you?
okay. You got
sound like you was gathering your notes. Okay,
yeah, I got to gather my notes. Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, we've been having like an offline conversation about and online. conversation about Famous's screen time.
right. Okay.
How you feeling about it? Famous again, soaking up screen time for no reason. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, just sleep. Wake up, Famous. I'm asleep. Let's get to shiftless.
He ain't even famous. He just shiftless. Yeah.
Nigga, Rock came over there. Famous jumped up with that fake I'm woke voice.
Right.
Good afternoon. Like, nigga, you been asleep, nigga. What's wrong with you? But I did see an image I sent to you of 50 Cent and some of his old friends, and one of them looked like Famous, like a, you know what I'm saying, like a famous looking nigga. So it must be a role for him somewhere.
Yeah. Hopefully something's going to turn.
The nigga is taking these orders on this new operation. He wasn't with it, but he ended up, you know what I'm saying, being a good order taker thus far.
Right.
So which brings us to Kanan, and he went and sold this new operation with the weed man. So he got the messenger man on board. Then he went to the weed man, who wasn't fucking with them like that, to convince him, you know what I'm saying, in his Kanan convincing way of everything's going to be lovely. You're going to make three times. It's all money, baby. It's all money. So
speaking of that.
Convinced,
well, go ahead.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
Well, speaking of that and Famous, he low-key slapped the shit out of Famous, let him know.
Oh, yeah.
You in business with me, Pop. I don't know what you thinking about. Don't go fill out no other applications or don't have no... Look, this is how it's going to be. You know what I mean? He smacked him up.
If you let her in again, I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah. Damn. So that was the worst. You hate that part. You don't like that. Yeah, so he getting, you know...
You gonna fuck me up like that?
Yeah,
you
man.
Live in my house.
Right. Ain't that some shit? Damn, nigga. Yeah, man. He punking him.
So you got that juke preparing for her singing audition. Uh-huh. Lou is in the mix. They making a good hit. You know what I'm saying? Sound like something. You know what I mean? Fucking juke singing her ass off like she was just a Queens Mary J over there. You know what I mean? They feeling good. Marvin is a proud ass daddy supporting everything. Nigga is doing that. Nigga got more heart than everybody. That nigga got people to take care of. This nigga got a kid he trying to raise. This nigga is saving old motherfuckers from the base heads of robberies. This nigga is doing a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, they could have gave Famous some of these activities and shit.
Yeah, he definitely. Marvin is getting a lot of playing time this season.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this nigga, his character is deep, you know what I'm saying? He had to go say the nigga from the Village Voice from his crackhead friends, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't get that. Who is this guy?
I don't know. We don't know yet. I don't know if that's his daddy. I don't know if that's his, I don't know. Shit. He had to go save.
That was random. That was a random save, and then with the Village Voice badge. Yeah, that was random as hell.
It was supposed to be set up that where, you know what I'm saying, we got this guy. We never seen him before, but he said, you the only nigga that's going to come pay us this money.
Right. We also got some insight on their father. Find out their pops, you know what I mean, was a musician. Like a blues man or whatever. And, you know, he was a drunk. You know what I mean? Right. Kind of threw his life away, seemingly, per Lou. You know? Because Lou, damn near shadowing what his father did, he wound up getting drunk at some spot. He was hanging out with Marvin. Marvin had to go save my man from the Village Voice. So he said, Lou, be cool, don't wild out, blah, blah, blah. But I guess Lou's still grieving, even though he got a little, you know, he been in the studio, Lou's still grieving. Maybe that's his inspiration, you know what I'm saying? So he getting drunk some more. Sloppy, steps out, winds up stumbling into a little dive bar because I guess he hears some music playing, some little fake Daz FX cats.
Nah, you know, it was his daddy. First, he went in there, he heard his daddy.
Oh, right. He was like, yo, what you doing playing? Yeah, da-da-da-da-da, how you know such and such? Yeah, he heard his pops. Yeah, he heard his pops. Yeah. That's when he went in there and fucking Bonnie Raitt was behind the counter. She's like, what you know about whomever. Lou's father. Lou was like, that's my father. He said, really?
That's my father.
Yeah, that's my father. Oh, he was one of the best. He wasn't shit. You know what I'm saying? So then, you know what I'm saying? So there's that little stand-up. She know he stepped. He stumbled and she hit him with about a four-piece mad whiskey. Here you go. He throwing this shit back. So he got to be stupid sloppy. You know what I mean? Fucking Nas effects over there. They up on stage, and then somebody, white dude was kind of who probably wanted to hear, you know, some Springsteen or something like that, was like, yo, get this shit out of here.
Get this
iggity bullshit out of here. Which is hilarious. Which I'm sure Daz Effects probably had to fight against coming up. You know what I mean? Not even just for white people.
Was talking his old bump stinking ass.
Bullshit out of here. Which is fucking horrible because they made some good ass albums, man. Dead ass. Especially Dead Serious.
They had their own movement, man. It was the jump era, man. It was a lot of fooshnickings and
yeah, it was a whole lot of tongue twisting and all.
A lot of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Straight up suicide, actually. That was the one. That was Pete Rock was on that shit. But anyway, so Lou,
they the ones who cadence didn't make it, dog. But go ahead.
What you said? They the ones that what?
They cadence didn't make it, dog.
Nah, it was too specific. It was
you try that
too...
shit nowadays. Nigga be like, God damn, 92.
they gonna place you immediately. It's like you got a calendar on your chest. nigga got a Miskeen shirt on. He walked over there. He wanted to be the enforcer. You know what I'm saying? He wound up beating a nigga up. Get thrown into jail, you know what I'm saying, the drunk tank. And, of course, he's in a drunk tank when Jukebox needs him most. You know what I'm saying? And Marvin trying to hit her with the encouragement, you know what I mean? She go to the mic, and then, you know, she hit her with the acapella, and they hit her with the industry. Yep, that's enough. Take it easy.
Mid, goddamn... You know what I'm saying? Opening salvo.
Still on the climb of the high note. Ain't even get to the highest of the high note. She's still in the middle. This shit was nap. Next her ass up out of there. Looked like Jukebox. I don't know if this is going to pay off into anything, but it looked like one of the ladies kind of flirted with her a little bit in the bathroom. Okay, Polo. Yeah, one of the other singers. Well, one singer came in talking shit like, y'all wrap it up, it's over. Don't even worry about it. Ain't nobody gonna get this shit. You know what I'm saying? But then other joint, I think she dropped something, Jukebox dropped some shit, and then she was like, oh, okay, Polo. Or some shit like that, little flirty flirt. You know what I mean? So who knows? Maybe Jukebox gonna have another love interest. But either that or Juke about to, because we all know Juke gonna wind up as the cop. So I think everybody's waiting for
the old Dedeka.
Everybody waiting for the big turn. So that's her shit. Howard had to pull up on what's his name? Brooks's. Is it Brooks? Brooks's ex? Is it Buford? Yeah. What's the girl's name?
The other police.
Exactly. They had to pull up on her ex. Like, yo. Look, you know what I mean? I know you out here sniffing around, but we don't need that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just do us a favor. Don't stop sniffing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Look, shit is what it is. And she played her whole hand. Well, Brooks told me that however she go is not really what it was. You don't tell a motherfucker that just killed your homegirl, because now he might have to kill you just to, you know. You a loose end, and you just showed
yourself. She on to him now. He played his hand.
They both played their hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
He should have chilled. He should have chilled, but, you know, he don't. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, is this his first murder?
You know that ain't his first fucking murder. That's the first one we've seen.
No, but I mean like intentional murder. You know, man. Is he got another murder? He's got a body on the show?
No, I don't think so. But he's so dirty. We know he been
dirty. No, of course. He a dirty cat. Yeah, yeah. So I guess. And he did do the murder real cool. He just real desperate in the way of keeping it quiet, I guess. Yeah, he definitely busted down and kept it pushing. Mm-hmm. Trying to think, is there anything else that we're missing?
The fish man got arrested. You know what I'm saying? They sniffing around. Just letting us know the feds is in Queens now.
Right. Yeah, you know the feds is in Queens heavy. Yeah, they got the fish man. He walked, though. He wound up walking. Who else? Anything else? We talked about Marvin. Marvin and trying to console Jukebox. Lou, get out of jail. Oh, wait. What did Lou do when he got out of jail? He called Marvin. Marvin was
He went to apologize to old girl.
And then
try to get a little hookup. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Let me be the promoter, enforcer.
Right.
Trying to get in on the business. Just like Rock looking like she about to get in on the building business of the beauty house.
Right. Right. About to buy that off the lady.
Yeah.
I don't know what. Unique opened up the Chinese food restaurant, about to link up with the Chinese cats at the Chinese food restaurant.
Right.
Remember
right,
that? Yeah. Because he's down with the Italians now, so he's going to be doing that. And then we're going to see what happened with old crazy-ass Ronnie. He's definitely about to start wilding out. Something's going to have to come to a head.
Had to kill Ronnie motherfucking ass.
Yeah, either going to be Unique or Kanan or whatever. Yo, I sent you the joke. You ever see? I think I said it to you. You see this? There's this kid on Instagram or TikTok that do the little Kanan impression.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Fuck with my mother. Don't fuck with my mother. Yeah, that shit is wild, silly, man. It's like this nigga playing ball. And nigga's like, he make a shot at the kid was supposed to, you know, pass him the ball back, give him rebound the ball, throw it back to him. He made the shot. He's like, yo, pass me the rock. He's like, yo, dude, what you say about the rock, nigga? I don't fuck with my mother. But the shit is so over the top, but it's like, it's funny as shit, man. I'm fine with that shit. Put that shit on the page or something. It's silly. I guess that's it. Yeah. I think that's it for what's going on in Southside. You got any?
Southside.
Huh?
In the world of Southside. Yeah.
You got any predictions? Anything you want? Predictions on either show?
Other than, you know, I mean, it's just so all over right now. You know, of course, Kanan going to run into some shit where he going to have to get himself up out of. You know what I'm saying? We're going to see how famous Ernest screen time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Rock pulling something slick on everybody. Yeah. That we don't know yet, but it's something slick. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, nice outfit on this week. You know what I'm saying? So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Big feathery. Feathery hair with the, you know what I'm saying, with the blood, the blood outfit on.
Hilarious. She stayed coming through with some shit.
Yeah. She,
that motherfucking range. That range is my shit. Yeah.
The Italians, you know, Unique. I don't have no predictions other than Ronnie ass gotta go. Kanan gonna end up in trouble. Uh-huh. Goddamn Rock gonna fucking pull something slick. And Marvin is going to be straight tortured, just trying to make sure everybody's straight.
Mm.
A tortured middle child.
Yeah. Hilarious. There it is. Let us know what y'all predictions are in the comments. Hit us up. Let us know what you feeling about these seasons so far. If you got any theories or whatever, you know, hit us up, man. Let's keep it going on the Instagram, ITC Podcast, I believe. Is it ITC Podcast on Instagram? Or it's in the conversation on Instagram. Yeah, so check that out. I ain't gonna talk about it next week, but you know, I ran into this little cartoon on Netflix. I'm not even a cartoon cat, but it's called Carol in the End of the World.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, that shit is... it's kind of hilarious. I just started. I seen two episodes. The whole setting is basically, it's like the end of the world. Literally the end of the world. Like less than 2 weeks through, everybody's going to die. Mm. So with that said, like everybody is just lean. It's just real hedonistic. People are wilding. People are doing whatever they want to do because shit, this world is about to end in fucking less than 14 days. But then Carol is just like, just regular, she's just living life as if that, you know, like if it's just any other day. Real, like, real middle of the road, like real, like not fun, you know what I'm saying? Like real inhibited, you know what I'm saying? And then what makes it so funny, I couldn't figure out the voice at first. I'm like, I've heard this voice. Like, she's like real dowdy. But I heard this voice. I'm like, yo, who the fuck is this? And it's the woman. Do you remember the drug dealer from Euphoria? The woman drug dealer that like hit what's her name with the syringe and all of that. But you remember how she talked and shit like that? She's the lead character. It's funny so far. It's pretty funny. Y'all should check that out. Carol and the End of the World. It's an interest. I think the concept is pretty ill. Just kind of like, what would you do? How would you live if it was only like less than 2 weeks to go? You know, like she's still paying her bills. Like the motherfucking bill collector sent her like a letter back like, yo, you don't need to put any payments on your credit card. It's expired. Go out. Said the only debt you owe is the debt to yourself. Go out and live life. I was like, damn, it's the fucking bill collector hitting you with this old fucking esoteric shit. But yeah, man. Check it out if you get a chance. But before we go, D.C., I'm there February 2nd through the 8th. Hartford, Connecticut, I'm there the 17th and the 18th of February. And, you know, if anything else comes up, I'm going to keep y'all posted. I'm start posting more of the local dates on DamianLemon.com. Mm-hmm. But till next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.